freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom over me and before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. So what's the point? Get back to the point. The Bill Cooper Behold a Pale Horse citation, back to the phones. The point is simply this. If you look in Ezekiel 28, this depiction of Satan, this fallen angel, Lucifer, renamed Satan, there is something I think that gets overlooked. There, you know, you get a picture of this character in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, for example. And in Ezekiel 28 and verses 14 through, shall we say, 18, there's something that if you're paying attention, you notice. So my translation, this is the NASB 95. Says, you are the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. Well, what happened? Until unrighteousness was found in you, what happened? Next verse. By the abundance of your trade. That's interesting. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, a covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. And then this, again, the echo of this. By the multitude of your iniquities, what happened? In the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Which, again, I mean, that sounds like this, I think, is the heart of the issue when Jesus is driving out the money changers in the temple. This is it. It's particularly devilish what they're doing, the corruption. By the multitude of your iniquities and the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. So, I think that's what's going on in simple terms. And when you hear Whitney Webb talk about, you know, the human trafficking, sex trafficking kind of stuff, that is the focal point. That is kind of as gruesome and grotesque as it is, and as criminal and heinous as it is used as a modified limited hangout to divert attention away from the financial crimes and the financial network and the secret, you know, networks of folks who operate in the showers, or in the shadows, excuse me, not in the showers, shadows of power. Sam Bankman-Fried, obviously, you know, the bank man got fried, just like Bernie Madoff with the cash. This was a total setup. And she uses, you know, she has made the comparison of guys like Sam Bankman-Fried and, you know, Jeffrey Epstein and others who have run Ponzi schemes, same kind of thing. And there seems to be a pattern there. And, you know, we're led to believe in the case of someone like Sam Bankman-Fried, for example, that he's just some kid, some lone crazy nut job. But if that's the case, who put up the $250 million for bail? And has it been paid yet? Who can do that? And it wasn't just one. Apparently it was at least two somebody, entities, organizations, something. What is it? We're not, you know, allowed to know. And as Whitney Webb has pointed out, you know, Denise George being fired because of the Virgin Islands scandal, same kind of thing. What are we not supposed to be seeing here? Why is our attention always diverted away? So back to Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse, Secret Societies in the New World Order, particularly pertaining to what Fred was talking about, just to finish this thought real quick. J. Peter Grace, W.R. Grace president, and 8 members of W.R. Grace Company are members of the Knights of Malta. Bill Cooper writes, according to an article by Leslie Geld in the New York Times, administration officials had expressed concern about Mr. Wilson's activities. These actions, they said, often revolved around his contacts and interest in the oil business, right? You know, there's the skull and bones stuff. I need to dig out my copy of Initiatives in Energy and read that section where Darwin Payne talks about these 4 skull and bones men that no one's supposed to know about, all in the same room at the same time. Amazing. Or, you know, one of my favorite more recent escapades is Eddie Lampert, Skull and Bonesman Eddie Lampert, the corporate raider who's destroying big, I don't know, seemingly American brands, shall we say. Wilson should have been fired, Cooper writes, but instead nothing happened except that he and his wife attended a papal Easter Mass and stood next to George Shultz and his wife. In diplomatic language, this indicated private approval of his actions. George Shultz, of course, is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bohemian Grove, and the Betchel Corporation, all of which have close ties to the Order of Knights of Malta. Wilson engaged in several other improprieties during his ambassadorship. Again, in each case, nothing happened. Finally, he resigned. Later, if you will remember, President Reagan suffered a fall from a horse on William Wilson's ranch in Mexico. Well, at least Dick Cheney didn't shoot him, right? Do you seriously think that President Reagan would have visited Wilson's home in Mexico if he had not approved of Wilson's actions while he was the U.S. ambassador to the Vatican? Knight of Malta Myron Taylor was President Roosevelt's envoy. Knight of Malta John McCone was President Kennedy's envoy, and he was also the director of the CIA during the early 1960s. A former mayor of New York City, Robert Wagner, was President Jimmy Carter's envoy. Frank Shakespeare replaced William Wilson. Frank Shakespeare is a Knight of Malta, and so it goes. President Reagan spoke at the annual Knights of Malta dinner. The Knights of Malta all have diplomatic immunity. They can ship goods across borders without paying duty or undergoing customs check. Does that ring any bells? In any case, that is power. The Knights of Malta is held up by a backbone consisting of nobility, nearly half of the 10,000 members belonging to Europe's oldest and most powerful families. This cements the alliance between the Vatican and the black nobility, quote unquote. Black nobility is most notably the rich and powerful of Europe. The head of the black nobility is the family that can claim direct descendancy from the last Roman emperor. Maybe now you can see that things are beginning to fall into their proper place. And so, you know, as an aside, again, the city of London, the history is right out in plain sight, but do we pay attention to it? Knights of Malta entails obedience to one's superior in the order and ultimately to the Pope. Therefore, a U.S. ambassador who is also a member of Knights of Malta faces a conflict of interest. So do those who may maintain dual citizenship, right? If you're a different nationality, as the song says, then maybe that's the first order of business to remedy. Why is the fact ignored? Why is that fact ignored? President Bush appointed Knight of Malta Thomas Melody to the post of U.S. Ambassador to the Vatican. The Vatican has found the Pope, John Paul II, Center for Prayer and Study for Peace at 1711 Ocean Avenue, Spring Lake, New Jersey, in a mansion overlooking the ocean. The mansion was given to the New York Archdiocese by the estate of Elmer Bobst, who died in 1978. He was a multimillionaire and chairman of Warner Lambert Company. Richard Nixon was a frequent visitor. Directors of the center were Kurt Waldheim, former Secretary General of the United Nations, and ex-Nazi war criminal Cyrus Vance. Cyrus Vance Jr. is in the news these days, right? Cyrus Vance Jr. Cyrus Vance Jr. out as Manhattan District Attorney soon. Cyrus Vance Jr. Et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, Cyrus Vance, former Secretary of State under Carter and member of both the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, Clare Boothe Luce. Remember, Henry Luce was a Skull and Bones man, right? Clare Boothe Luce, A. Dam of the Knights of Malta, and J. Peter Grace of W.R. Grace Company, who is head of the Knights of Malta in the United States. The center was set up by the Vatican as part of the Pope's new peace plan, which will bring the world together. Wink, wink. You know, like Alan Watts said, the absence of opposition is not the same as peace. The absence of all opposition. And Cooper includes parenthetically, see my paper, The Secret Government. The center has two roles. One, educate Catholics and their children to accept the New World Order. Two, provide residence for the World Peace Solution computer and an ongoing study for peaceful solutions to any future problems which may endanger world peace. The computer is hooked to the world capitals via satellite. All nations have agreed to relinquish sovereignty to the Pope and submit future problems to the world computer for solution. Of course, this will not go into effect until the New World Order is publicly announced. And Cooper writes, I believe that the New World Order was born in secrecy on January 19, 1989. Now you know. And, you know, speaking of all of this computer talk, we think, well, whatever. But, you know, it sounds passe, in other words, in today's vernacular. But back in the day, 1991, for example, when Al Gore was visiting with Wolf Blitzer on CNN, it wasn't so well known, right? This concept, you know, there's that Today Show meme that circulates of Katie Couric and Bryant Gumbel and I forget who else. Email, what is email? I don't understand. What do you mean? Just a totally foreign concept. And so Al Gore the way he put it, took the initiative in creating the internet, to be clear, which is still a misnomer. I digress. So, continuing, just to wrap this thought up in conjunction with what Fred was saying. So, Cyrus Vance, former Secretary of State under Carter, member of both the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission, Claire Booth Luce, Dam of the Knights of Malta, J. Peter Grace, Grace Company, head of the Knights of Malta in the United States. The center was set up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Two purposes. The computer is hooked to the world capitals via satellite. All nations have agreed to relinquish sovereignty to the Pope and submit future problems to the computer for solution. Of course, this will not go into effect until the New World Order is publicly announced. And again, Bill Cooper wrote, "I believe that the New World Order was born in secrecy on January 19, 1989. Now you know. Acquaint yourself anew with the teachings of Jesus. Compare his teachings with the tenets of the Illuminati, and then compare it with the following. The Vatican has stated at various times that, quote, the Pope is for total disarmament. The Pope is for elimination of the sovereignty of the nation states. The Pope is also stating that property rights are not to be considered true property rights. And by the way, again, that's something, you know, if you listen to the Nancy Eisenbergs, it's a common thread. And again, we have this glaring omission from our own founding, you know, that all men are created equal, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, you know, that, yeah, that little hiccup. Nah, we don't want them all to think that, you know, they have a right to property. Come on now. So, like, I'm always reminded of that scene in the movie Shooter where Ned Beatty's character, Senator Charles Meacham, you know, they're up on the mountain. And the kid asks, which side are you on? And he says, side, there are no sides. There are only haves and have-nots. There are no Democrats, Republicans. There are no Sunnis and Shiites. There are no, you know, there are only haves and have-nots. So, the Vatican has stated at various times the Pope is for total disarmament. The Pope is for elimination of the sovereignty of the nation states. The Pope is also stating that property rights are not to be considered true property rights. The Pope believes that only the Vatican knows what is right for man. In the early 1940s, the IG Farben Chemical Company employed a Polish salesman who sold cyanide to the Nazis for use in Auschwitz. The same salesman also worked as a chemist in the manufacture of the poison gas, the same cyanide gas, along with Zyklon B and Malathion, was used to exterminate millions of Jews and other groups. Well, we can haggle over that. Anyway, their bodies were then burned to ashes in the ovens. We can ask David Irving about that. How about that? After the war, the salesman, however, the crimes are no less heinous. After the war, regardless of the numbers, that is, after the war, the salesman, fearing for his life, joined the Catholic Church and was ordained a priest in 1946. One of his closest friends was Dr. Wolf Smunis, the mastermind behind the November 78 and October 79 and March 80 to October 81 experimental hepatitis B vaccine trials conducted by the Center for Disease Control in New York. So, I'll finish that thought when we come back and we'll go to the phone. Stick around, more right after this break. We shall overcome someday.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Wrap this up. So from Bill Cooper's Chapter 2, Behold a Pale Horse, Chapter 2, Secret Societies and the New World Order, just to conclude here. So there's this Polish salesman employed by the IG Farben company, and you'll remember that Stanford Oil and IG Farben made a deal, and we're also involved in interviewing Hitler and Friends, which Ivy Lee confessed to before Congress. It wasn't around long after admitting that. So there's this Polish chemical salesman selling cyanide to the Nazis for Auschwitz. And skipping ahead, one of his closest friends was Dr. Wolf Smunis, the mastermind of the November 78 to October 79 and March 80 to October 81 experimental hepatitis B vaccine trials conducted by the Center for Disease Control in New York, San Francisco, and four other American cities that loosed the plague of AIDS upon the American people. Remember when Kerry Mullis, you know, the guy who invented the PCR test, who died coincidentally right before the, you know, around the time that Operation Crimson Contagion was going on, and just prior, I believe, to or around the time of the little Event 201 scenario planning deal, and, you know, right before COVID and all of that, Kerry Mullis, remember him talking about the HIV AIDS thing? There's a reason that the soundbite is HIV AIDS. And Kerry Mullis said, I even talked to Luc Montagnier, and he couldn't give me the canonical citation of HIV AIDS. Continuing, Cooper writes, the salesman was ordained Poland's youngest bishop in 1958. After a 30-day reign, his predecessor was assassinated, and our ex-cyanide gas salesman assumed the papacy as Pope John Paul II. 1990 is the right time with the right leaders, ex-chief of Soviet secret police Mikhail Gorbachev, ex-chief of the CIA George Bush, ex-Nazi cyanide gas salesman Pope John Paul II, all bound by an unholy alliance to ring in the New World Order. The Pope has challenged the world leaders by claiming that the people of the world already recognize the absolute authority of Rome because they observe the Sunday Sabbath that was ordered by the Pope in the Council of Laodicea, 364 AD. The original Ten Commandments given by Moses, God ordered that we should remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou work and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not work, do any work, thou nor thou, thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Was it a literal 6 days? Yes, it was a literal 6 days. The sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. But then we come forward to the age of grace, and we've had this controversy about the law. This is not to get legalistic. That's, again, finishing what Bill Cooper wrote, and there's more. But the legalistic tendency is to get all tangled up in this, and you should, I always say it's a Romans 14 issue. And the last thing I'll say about it is, I always think of Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, therefore no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Sabbath day? Really? Yeah, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. And that's what matters. So we shouldn't get hung up and, you know, caught up in the thick of thin things, as they say. Anyway, that is a bit of history, I guess, that most are not familiar with. The same kinds of things continue on today. Isn't it interesting that maybe we should focus on those things and dig in a little deeper, where someone like Charlotte Isserby says, my father and grandfather were part of this. Check this out. Anthony Sutton helps write the history, and yet we go on to the shiny, flashy things, don't we? We'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the pandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes,
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong. Stay strong.
And we'll rock till the break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven. Oh, yeah, indeed.
I'm back. I'm back. Amen. Tell you something, children, this little life of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, yeah. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I'll let it shine now. Let it shine to show my lover.
Welcome back.
I wanna tell you that.
The incomparable Sam Cooke. All right. To the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling and waiting patiently.
Your last three music breaks are great. Maybe you went more towards spiritual stuff, but I think the concept of that bluesy song with the woman is kind of backwards.
Nina Simone?
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice sentiment, but we should be asking for the opposite. We should be asking to walk with him, not for him to walk with us, because we should try to stay on his path that he wants for us, rather than take our own path.
Amen.
Okay, well, may it be so, we can hope. And what some of the things that you've talked around, I think speak right to, and I all of a sudden I can't remember the chapter and verse where we are told to be not deceived from the simplicity that is in Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I don't have the verse memorized where that's at, but there's also take a minute to look it up, but I haven't yet. And we're also schooled against being drawn into endless debates, which you get into when you got, you know, sometimes when you try to.
I think it's
reason.
This
together,
is an important point, if I'm not mistaken. I don't mean to take you away from the other stuff, but I think it's 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. That one?
That's one instance of it. There may be more than one, like a lot of stuff. If you find in a parallel reference Bible, you find several others that are in the same theme. But yeah,
the reason I think that one's interesting is because it's 2 Corinthians 11. And so you skip forward a few verses and you have 13 through 15. No wonder even Satan disguises himself as angel of light, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And what's the theme in a lot of these oddball, later religions? You got Muhammad in a cave with an angel of light coming to him. You got the angel Moroni coming.
It's a Montanistic theme. That's what it is. It's Montanism.
What is that? Montanism, you've got me on.
Montanist was the first Joseph Smith, shall we say, where, you know,
okay.
I had this special revelation, et cetera, et cetera, that kind of thing.
And there's some people that look at Paul's light on the road to Damascus that way.
We've had that conversation recently on this broadcast, and I addressed it. Were there witnesses? Yeah, God, the Holy Spirit. Bible says that the Holy Spirit can be a witness. The Holy Spirit was there. Jesus was there. The other men, it says the other men were there, not man, but men. There were other men. Ananias becomes a witness to it. Ananias.
A lot of people to be deceived.
Everybody else, Peter.
And you had mentioned earlier a couple of things, but the secret societies and the Pope and that kind of stuff. And it's always bothered me because as a young man, I was told, well, if you want to be anywhere, anything in business or politics, you got to be a Mason. I'm like, wow. And fortunately, I'd seen the bumper sticker, there's none good, but, or there's, you know, after I'd read the scripture where Christ says, why callest thou me good? There's none good but the one. And then I see this bumper sticker that says, we're making good men better. Well, wait a minute. Yep. You can't make a good man better if he wasn't good to begin with.
Right.
There's none good but the one.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to Boy Scouts, all this, like, what is that? Mandalay, you got the, or, what
Demolay?
Demolay.
Jacques Demolay.
Yeah, the little boys' society that grooms you for masonry and the Boy Scouts. A lot of people have pointed that out. You can't get through Boy Scouts without the oath and the generic grand architect of the universe. There's in man's law, there's a maxim of conflict of oaths that always kind of bothered me when I found out about it. I was like, what? Our whole society is just steeped in all this oath.
Maybe is why Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, perhaps?
Just your communication should be honest. And we shouldn't be arrogantly swearing that we're going to do something with that, because who's the only one that's able to swear an oath and keep that promise? That would be, you know, the Most High.
Yep.
Or the Creator. But I have started trying to look at, I often have to ignore what the scholars say for something like, when was Timothy written, or when was this or that book written? Because there's internal evidence that would point to when something had to have been written. You know, like when you think Paul actually died, you know, 67, 68 AD, and he's writing to Timothy. He talking about the errors of Hymenaeus and Philetus, and the accounts that we read of after the first fruits of the resurrection were seen, right? Mm-hmm. And those guys had to have seen some of that. You would think Hymenaeus and Philetus are saying that the resurrection has passed already. They had supposedly seen or heard people, credible witnesses, that had seen the Christ with the resurrected, who all was it, Moses, and there's several that he was supposedly seen with, you know, according to the accounts. Mm-hmm. So the resurrection had already began. He was described as the first fruits of the resurrection, and Paul writes this prior to these other characters that said, all things continue as before. I think you made reference to that.
Second Peter 3, yes, I did.
Right, and when was Second Peter written?
So this reminds me of our recent conversation, you and I, when I mentioned the periodic table, and you said, but when was it discovered? And I said, yeah, but you look at the Dmitri Mendeleevs and all of these guys going back in the history of it that dates back several centuries. It's Kabbalistic. It's alchemical.
Well, why do you like the New American Standard Bible 95, the NSB 95?
It was just what it's the one that I've had for, I don't know, 20 years.
Yeah, when I first really started diving into the scriptures, I started with the Revised Standard Version, which was out of print for years, and I couldn't find one until the internet age, and you can get the new Revised Standard or the old Revised Standard. But it was because I was struggling to study Shakespeare and dramatic literature, and the Bible that I grew up with was in it was the old jot and tittle translation of the King James Version. You know, it had all the markings and all that, and you're struggling to figure out even how to pronounce some of this stuff to get through it. And so that Revised Standard Version really was helpful to get through that, but it had a very troubling footnote in Revelation, because, you know, in that time I was involved in music a lot, which is, you know, the cherubs thing, right, that was all adorned and prideful. But I had a couple of jobs in the direction of music industry, you would say, or entertainment. And, of course, the Mark of the Beast, I couldn't figure out how in the heck could Greek have 616 and a couple of manuscripts say 616 versus 666, you know, in the Grammatria. And it was a long, and it still is, a puzzle to try to figure out how could that be. Turns out there may be other manuscripts that claim a different number, you know, for the man or a human number, depending on your translation. Well, I'm wondering, the New American Standard Bible, I'm going to have to look that up and see what that translation says in the 95 to deal with those curious footnotes. When you're looking for simple ways to discern the doctrines of devils and the mark of the beast, you know, you try to, you know, what does it boil down to? To avoid the errors of Hymenaeus and Philetus, but I think we have to kind of cut them some slack, given all the changes that have been occurring since the crucifixion. And
that's why I always say the place to start is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the secret decoder ring. So my NASB 95 is irrelevant in that sense. And so, for that matter, is the King James or the Geneva or et cetera, et cetera. Even Textus Receptus, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, that sounds heretical, I understand, but hopefully people get what I'm saying. The one who wrote it who transcends time and space, if he wants to get a message to us, I mean, if he can speak to, what's his name, through his donkey, then I'm pretty sure he can get a message to me however he wants.
Yeah, but we gotta watch, you know, anytime I hear about, or I see all these cartoons from Disney or whoever where animals are speaking, I'm like, ask not counsel at the stock.
I know. I've talked about that, the anthropomorphic suspension of disbelief. aspect is definitely not to be overlooked.
The context there, with all that change that had happened to that society,
Balaam's donkey, anyway.
Yeah, but where he was stopped on the road by his own donkey.
And he's not, the thing that's most interesting to me about that is he's not saying, whoa, my donkey's talking to me. He's arguing with his donkey. Man, why are you beating me? Come on, we got to go. Can't you see the angel with the fire sword?
No. You couldn't see. But anyway, what I was getting at is these guys, probably Philetus and Hymenaeus, whatever, the Hymenaean heresy as it's called, they had seen all that happen, or they had trusted the witnesses that told them about it, you know, in whatever year we can say, 65 or so, when Paul or Peter was writing this stuff, very, very right before, and we also had what, Corinthians, the Church of Corinth was completely reduced to rubble. And what did those people think? You know, earthquakes in diverse places. What they must have thought? What did we do? And, of course, the Corinthians were admonished in those letters quite a bit. So looking at third party stuff, you kind of wonder how much we're reading other people's mail.
Exactly.
You mentioned mail earlier, but the idea that these guys would be doubtful and saying, everything continues as before, because that's saying occasionally men stumble over the truth, pick themselves up, dust themselves off.
Well, there's no humility in it. Like Peter says, it's mockers in their mocking saying that. They're chiding.
And they went right back to killing animals and sacrificing stuff, even though the curtain was rent in two, just a few years later after Paul dies, then everything changes. And Jeremiah also condemned the money changers, did he not? But there were no money changers then. So what was going on when Jeremiah condemned the temple with the same words that Jesus said?
Same old thing. Same old song.
But there were no money changers. There weren't any money changers then, were there? So what was Jeremiah condemning in the same theme that Yeshua or the Christ was condemning?
Yeah.
The shedding of innocent blood.
I feel like that's a conversation for another time. We're running long and we got other calls to get to. So.
All right, man. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Bye.
Much appreciated as always.
It is always.
Truly. Back to the phones in the interest of time. Tom in Utah, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, thanks.
Good morning.
I've been trying to get through the... Can you hear me okay, Chris?
No. Yeah, loud and clear.
Hold on here. Am I over-modulating?
I don't think so. You're a little soft.
Oh, okay.
Sounds soft.
Excuse me. We've had some really bad air out here for a while, so my throat's been a little bit burned by chlorine. Anyway, I just wanted to thank you. This sounds a little bit bizarre, for reminding me of Romans 14. I had passed through that long ago and put it in my back pocket, was very comfortable with it. And then when you challenged me with it, I pulled it back out and I said, oh, thank you for reminding me why I was comfortable with it. You know, for the first 30 years of my professional life, I was in good fellowship with the AMA, the FDA, and the DOA. You know, I worked in veterinary pathology as well, later moving into human. And I've realized we are vulnerable to the COVID and the COVID vaccines because we have violated the law, the very first law given to man, and also reminded, you know, like, for example, in Isaiah 66, 3 and 4, but particularly 3, and then down to verse 17 in that same chapter, and how many of us are violating that law? And as a consequence, we are vulnerable to disease, and we obtain disease by affecting disease. And we are foolish. We've gone to the altars of Baal. Balaam, of course, was acting in behest of Balak, right? And, of course, the Lord and the donkey were not in favor of that. But we, like donkeys, have been led to the altars of Baal, and now we're paying the price. We are vulnerable to the diseases, the plagues of Babylon. Anyway, I just want to thank you for reminding me of Romans 14. I tie it to 1 Corinthians 8, and I'm in comfort. And by the way, it validates the microscope. It validates the field and laboratory work that I was involved with for the first half of my life, but I didn't respect. And then when I hit the steel table myself, I had to come to a moment of decision. Am I going to respect what I learn in the lab and in the field and the microscope and in the Bible? And in the Bible. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway, I just wanted to thank you for flailing me with Romans 14. It turned out not to be the flail. It turned out to be the shepherd's crook.
Amen.
You know what the shepherd's crook is?
Absolutely. Yeah.
When the Lord laid the flail on the shoulders of money changers, he wasn't beating them or abusing them. He was simply saying, you are now subject to the consequences of your sin, or that you're subject to the law. People think that Christ flailed them physically. No, he did exactly as the Pharaoh would do, or exactly as the rulers would do. They would listen to your case in the court, and if they decided on your innocence, they would put the shepherd's crook on your shoulder. But if you were guilty in their mind, they laid the flail on your shoulder. And that's what Christ was doing. He was saying, you brethren are out of order. You're the money changers of the course. What are they changing money for? For the sacrifices that was an abomination. What was the sacrifice that God wanted? Your broken heart and your contrite spirit. Isaiah tells you that in 58.
Obedience anyway, is better than sacrifice, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All that I want is you be my people and I be your God. Mm-hmm. That is the sacrifice I want from you.
Amen.
Live the law. And do not bring harm to anyone or anything unnecessarily. And that's what I decided to do 30 years ago. So the last half of my professional life, I left the AMA, the DOA, and the FDA. And I'm living on the other side, and it is where life is basically eternal. Maybe not forever, but while you're alive, you're not demented, as Isaiah warned you would be if you did not obey the law. Anyway, thank you for pushing me to go back to Romans 14.
You're welcome.
Especially verse 2, verse 13, 15, 17, 19, but the whole thing. But those particular verses validate the microscope. They validate God. If we brought God into our life and made sure it complied with that instrument that he allowed to be invented, then you will not have to deal with COVID or the blood clotter. Anyway, and by the way, Mike in Kentucky is an excellent student. And an excellent teacher. You have to be a good student so you can be a good teacher. And he's easy to examine things and readjust his thought once he's seen it. So I appreciate Mike. He and I have spent a lot of time together, you know, reevaluating things in life. And we're in this mess because we have left God. We left him long ago. We bought Edward Bernays' crap.
Yep.
You need a good, solid breakfast of eggs and bacon. Match that with Isaiah 66:17. How does that fit? It doesn't. Edward Bernays was a voice for for the bad side, and we've been suckered. We picked up the package. It looks good. We've opened it. We ate it and found death was inside.
Yeah.
Or dementia.
I appreciate it. Tom, thank you as always. Got other calls to grab. We're running short. Thank you, sir.
By the way,
much appreciated.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Just as a reminder, you know, two decades ago, I opened up the poisoning of the 10th of the nation. Those people living in manufactured mobile homes are right now, they're in the depth
of
winter.
Tom, we got other calls. We got to jump. I appreciate the call, Tom.
Okay, but
thank you
just
as always.
Just remind people to go to gassingamerica.com or tomandutah.us.
All right. You did it. Thank you. Back to the phones. David in California, thanks for calling. Welcome. Did we lose David? You there, David? No? Okay. Well, we went right up to the... Okay. Well, we covered some ground, I would say. You know, I'll just conclude by saying this. We used to have an anti-Masonic party in this country, in this union of several states. What happened? And like I said, you know, the simple version, the short story on that, I would say, is that it was infiltrated and subverted. It was infiltrated. There was a, you know, in COINTELPRO sort of fashion, basically a plant was planted in the anti-Masonic party and then exposed later, revealed to be, oh gosh, see, you guys have Masons. You're not legit. You're not for real, to discredit the group so that people would say, oh yeah, marginalize, discredit, and walk away. But the concept was, I think, sound, and it's something that we all should observe ourselves, you know. If America was ever a Christian nation, then the creator of heaven and earth should be America's God. And we have all of these monuments and things. Tex Mars spent 20 years documenting it, wrote Mysterious Monuments, 800 plus pages on the subject. And so maybe we should tear down the high places. I'm speaking metaphorically in this case, but people with authority, maybe, you know, if there was a revival and a true repentance, that's what would be happening. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
To bring some loving here today, Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.